All right, I'll start reading here, Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, or that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, and that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, as I was reading that, we're calling this particular teaching, Changing Your World. Changing Your World, Part 10. Okay? Now, as I was reading that, the Spirit of God's quickening me. You have a right to expect a return on your seed. Amen. You have a right to expect a return on your seed. It's almost like somebody said, well, now you're just trying to give to get. No, you're not. Listen, here's the deal. God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ. Got it? This is your inheritance. And the way he has of getting your inheritance to you is through your act of faith of sowing a seed. All right. Notice God sent his son Jesus. And the Bible says over in John, put it up there on the board, please. John chapter 10 and verse 24, I think it is. Let's try that. 10:24. He said, no, that's not it. And he says this. He said, unless a seed falls to the ground. Come on, 12 and 24, please. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So notice what God did. He sent his precious seed into the earth to die for you and me. Got it? Now, how many days did he stay dead? 3 days. He came up, didn't he? When he came up, he ended up back in the hands of the Father. Right? Now, who else came up as a result of this seed that was sown? We did. Multiplied. Am I right about it? Now, this is a principle. God is not asking you to do something he didn't do himself. He's working the same principle in the earth, because as long as the earth remains. So when you're dealing with this earth, you're going to deal through seed time and harvest. So if God's going to deal with this earth, he's got to deal with seed time. So I told you, God does nothing without a seed. He does nothing apart from faith, and he does nothing aside from love. Because faith works by love. And then you got to make sure you don't step out of love. That is to make sure you stay in love there. That's why he said, love your enemies. That's not only a command, that's a seed. Okay, now, I'm just saying you have a right to expect a harvest. Your inheritance is your inheritance. He put it here for you. And you are receiving it through your seed. You have a right. Now, don't throw rocks. You have a right to be rich. Because he said it. Now, religion won't tell you that. Religion won't tell you that. Religion tries to make you cry to put something in the bucket. Really? I mean, I used to play in a band, playing in, you know, them joints. I wouldn't say. But I tell you, I played in there, man. You can get a slow song and play that thing right. Boy, they put money up there. Sure they will. Because you're striking their emotion. You're just hitting, playing the emotional chord, see? Baby gone and left me, Lucia. Yeah. You play the right song, brother. They throw some money up there. Play that thing. Make me cry one more time. Blues. Monday morning. Mm-hmm. So my point to you is this is all without that. You just believe. And this works. You don't have to cry. You can tell that crying spirit too. I go places and I can feel that crying spirit. Because it's like, you know, it's kind of that and begging is close, real close together. Okay. All right. Can we go back to the lesson here now? All right. Okay. So we're talking about changing your world. And last time I was talking about the voice of God, the voice of God. Let's go over to John and chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. You with me? In verse 3, that's not quite the verse that I want, but that's close enough. This particular verse is, maybe you can help me out on this. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow it. Verse 27. Yeah, here it is. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's powerful. I think that's one thing that the enemy tries to do. He tries to make people think that they just heard God, who really haven't heard God at all. Now, I'm saying that because he works in this area called deception. And the Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light. You know. I remember this guy telling this story, his true story. And he said that he came to this man of God and told him, said, the Virgin Mary appeared to him. And he said, you know, to what does she look like? And he described and so forth. He said, well, the next time she appears to you, spit in her face. And I said, what? He said, just spit in her face. Okay, following the instructions of the man of God. So he did that. Appeared, spit in the face. And this image turned into the most hideous demon that he had ever seen and ever could imagine. Because it wasn't what he thought at all. It was a deception. And sometimes when people don't follow the word, they can be deceived. And it really happens with a novice. And these are people, a novice is somebody that's new. And you got to understand that God puts shepherds over you to help protect you. You know, he got a rod in his hand to help lead you the right way. And I'm only saying that because that is God's protection for his people. But the enemy works on deception. He tries to get people to hear some other voice, so forth and so on. But when you start developing and maturing in God, you'll know his voice. Amen. Somebody said, well, suppose it wasn't his voice. You'll find out. Amen. You'll say, well, that wasn't it. Praise God. And so we said something about the voice of God. Now, this is not having you to put doubt in it, because you got to do it by faith. But we said some things about it. And we said, hearing the voice of God is a stronghold of faith. Is the stronghold of faith. We've had people come through this ministry saying they heard God. And God told them to go do such and such a thing. And they end up with certain people following them and went with them to a place and so forth. And the next thing you know, 6 years later, they're coming back talking about we were deceived. I said, well, you didn't have to be. All you had to do was ask me. I'd tell you right there. You were going the wrong way. Because I kind of knew the person they were following. That person was trying to build up something for themselves. They felt that they were so spiritually enlightened that they knew more than anybody, and they knew more than the pastor. That person is a dangerous person. Now you can ask me and say, Pastor, let me. I'm doing something. Is this God or is this quirky? And I tell you, oh, okay, that's quirky. I leave that alone. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, we're going to talk tonight. We're going to talk about some things here. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. I got here by hearing the voice of God.
Amen.
So you got to give me some credit.
Amen.
You got to give me some credit.
Amen.
And I think one of the biggest reasons why I could do this or be in this place now is because I was in, as far as I know, I was never trying to build something for myself.
Amen. Amen.
Never try to build something for yourself, because that's the quickest way to be deceived. Secondly, I stayed with the Word of God. I stayed right with the word. Whatever the word says is the truth.
Amen.
Well, you sick. The word didn't say that.
Amen.
Didn't say that. Well, God is took that job because he's trying to teach you something. The word didn't say that.
Amen.
I stayed right with the word of God. My sheep hear my voice and they follow. So I'm saying hearing the voice of God is the stronghold of faith. Now, God lets us out there. I mean, you know, true enough, we're growing. And I told you last time, God wants you to increase more and more. That's what he's all about. That's what Egypt and then Canaan and then in the wilderness and Canaan, the growth that we have to go through. But God wants you to pretty soon be able to discern his voice and follow it exactly. Why? Because he's trying to set up a relationship with you. I'm here to get you off of me. Now, does that make sense? See, I'm not trying to get you to set me up as some idol. That's a dangerous place for a person to be, boy. Now, I'm here to get you so you can hear his voice as well. Now, there'd be some places where you need to ask some, and God has anointed me to help you and so forth like that. Thank God for it. But I want to get you to hear God for yourself.
Amen.
So if you're over by yourself somewhere in something and you need to hear God for yourself and you can't get a hold of the pastor, you can just pray and hear God for yourself.
Amen,
amen to that.
Amen.
Also, hearing God's voice. His voice is irresistible. His voice is irresistible. And once you hear his voice, it'll make you dare the undareable.
That's right. Amen.
It'll make you dare the undareable. Now, like I said, you know, God will leave you out there. He'll let you mess around for years. You know? And find out, you know, wow, I was going down the wrong way. I should have listened. And, well, you lost, you know, some time. But that God is merciful. He take you right on, but come on back in and dust you off and try to get the shame out of your life and embarrassment and sit down and listen. God spoke to me about different things. As far as this mall is concerned, the enemy tried to make me doubt it because the money hadn't come. And the closing is Thursday. And the money isn't there. We had raised $3 million and no bank, big banks, whatever, wouldn't loan us any more money coming. I'm believing. I believe I received. I mean, I'm praying like a house of fire. So the enemy tried to keep telling me that wasn't God. It wasn't his will. But hearing his voice is a stronghold. Yeah, okay. So what happened? He spoke. What did I do? Stop trusting in other folk. I had to go to God himself. Because other folk were suggestion. Why don't you call Creflo and Dr. Dollar? See, he's a friend of yours. See, kid, and that thing sound good when you're in a tight place, boy. I said, man, yeah, that's it. Praise God. By the time I rode and got home, God said, I didn't say that. I said, oh, Lord. There goes Dr. Dollar. They didn't say that at all. Didn't say that. Now, when you're in a tight place, it sounds like God. Sound good, too. Just wrong. The heavens, the angels song, it sounds like as that those words were spoken. That's great. Praise God. That must be it. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. The enemy didn't want me to stand. Because he said, if you just draw nigh to God and resist the devil, it's a law. He must flee from you. That's what I did. God said, if the money's not here by Monday, go to the bank. I said, man, bank, borrowing money. Well, God told me to do it. I said, I'm going to find out whether it's God. So Monday came, money wasn't there. I said, money just, we start talking about a little bank over on the south side, a little minority bank. Said, man, that can't be the bank. Said, no, that's not the bank. Small as that bank is? Called the bank. The bank said, can you have me certain paperwork by 6 o'clock tonight? I said, yes, sir. You brought him 6 o'clock tonight. Next morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, he said, you got your money. So, understand, I had to hear God's voice.
Amen.
Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
So I'm just saying that whether it be us in a facility, in a house that we were in, we couldn't move out because every time we tried to move, the enemy would stop us. Resistance of Satan would stop us. He wouldn't want us to move out and so forth. And our time in that house was up. It was 8 months. We were trying to get a place and so forth. But I had to hear God's voice again. So how did I do it this time? I went on a 3-day fast, 3 days. And when I went on that, I cut down the noise of my flesh. And then all of a sudden, God spoke, told me exactly what to do. Here's what he said. Declare, decree what you want, just like that. Whoa. I said, I'll be out of here in 7 days. He didn't tell me how many days. He said, you just decree what you want. I decreed it and stood on it. Asked my wife, 6 days? I said, baby, be out in 6 days. 5 days? Be out in 5 days. What saith it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. What is it? It's the word of faith, which we preach. The enemy fears the word of faith. Fears it, folks. Fears it with a passion. And I'm just saying, as you are growing in the Lord, now you're going to start hearing his voice. And my prayer for you is that you hear his voice as clear as you hear your own prayer. Yes. You are his sheep. And you're going to hear his voice. Amen. 2012 is going to be your year of hearing the voice of God. No. That's all you need. Man. Isn't there a song? If I don't hear from you, what does it say? What would I do? How does that song go? Speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Because when he does, the voice is irresistible. And it will cause you to dare to do the undareable. The devil will dare you. I dare you to do that. But if you ever hear God's voice, you say, come on. And that's with anything. God is always speaking to us. He's always coming to us. Okay? So hearing the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Say this with me. I believe. From this night. I shall hear the voice of God. As clearly as I hear my own prayers. In the name of Jesus. And the voice of a stranger, I will never follow. In Jesus' name. I have been confessing that for over 20 years, just about every morning. Amen. I've built my system around it. I remember the first time I heard his voice. I'm in a church in a holy name down here on State Street, wherever it is. And I was coming from my apartment, coming to work there at IBM. And I passed by that church, Catholic church, every day. And I said, I'm going to go in here and start praying every day. I just got saved. I didn't know nothing. I'm still eating bottle caps. And so what happened? I got on my knees and started praying. And I'm crying. You know. I don't know what I'm crying about. I just crying. And God spoke to me. He said, don't worry, William, you'll be all right. Man. And I had my eyes closed and was like a marquee that passed by. I said, whoa, be all right. Man, after that, things started happening. Deals started closing in sales. Loans started getting paid off, so forth. I mean, and so when I start going through something now, God reminded me, whatever I said to you then, the word applies today. His word is the same. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's go to something else. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and Proverbs chapter 18. And you can hear God's voice through people. You know, I mean, this somebody may not be saved, but God will use them to say something. And you say, yeah, oh, wait, that's God right there. It might be a baby, a child that comes to you. And they tell you, your hair don't look right. And you gotta know. You know, say, why, is that God? Something like that. Okay, all right, let's look at this. All right, look at Deuteronomy in chapter 30. All right, look what it says here. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing, come on, and cursing. Therefore, choose what? Life, that both you, come on, and your seed may live. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-wee. Boy, that's so powerful, I'll tell you the truth. Okay, let's deal with that. All right, now, I want to say a couple of things. That we are moving into a time now where harvest is coming. And the harvest comes in both areas at the same time. Harvest of the blessing and harvest of the curse. If you will, put up on the board, I'm still going to deal with Deuteronomy 30. Now, just put something there because that's the major place that we're at. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 24. Just look at that for me, please. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew chapter 24. All right, look what Jesus says. He said this, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? Watch this. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall what? Deceive many. So I told you that one of the things that's operating out here in the last days is deception. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, am I right about it? We're hearing wars and rumors of wars. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. I mean, you get skirmishes all over the earth right now. Before, it was not like that. Before what? World War II. It was not like that. But now you're in the last days, so you're hearing little skirmishes all over the place. Look at verse 7. For nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what? Famines, keep going, and pestilences, and what else? Earthquakes in diverse places. So there's going to be earthquakes or natural disasters. So we got the whole disaster department now set up. FEMA, all that we set up. That was never before, folks. That is being organized in the last days, because in the last days, these things are going to happen. Also, pestilences. What are we talking about? That's diseases. That's things that are programmed or going to come in the last days because of something. They're going to be diseases. People can't get them healed. And going to be airborne diseases and pandemic kinds of things and so forth. These things are going to happen. This is the last days. And they're going to be famines, droughts. Not only that, economic famines, mortgage crisis. All these things are going to come. And he said in verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Come all the way down here to verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end's not going to come because of famines or pestilences or earthquakes. The end's going to come when the gospel is preached. And the gospel of the kingdom is becoming the most popular thing right now. 2012, 12 is government, is a number of government, is going to be a year of government. It's going to be the year that you'll see a manifestation of the kingdom of God unlike anything that's ever been seen before. Now, what is this saying? It's saying harvest is going to come. Harvest is going to come. How did it come? It's coming off of the seeds that have been sown. Go over here with Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Pardon me. Galatians chapter 6. Look what he says, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, keep going, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh, keep going, of the flesh shall reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap what? Life everlasting. This is two things that are going to come, the blessing and the what? Curses. These things are going to come in the last days. So notice what he said in the verse 8, pardon me, put it up there in the Amplified, please, in verse 8. So I want you to see what it says here, because we talk about destruction is going to come. Verse 8. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap what? Decay, keep going, and ruin, keep going, and destruction. Notice what's happening as a result of mankind leading a life of sowing to the flesh. Destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. So it's coming throughout the earth. And one of the reasons God gave Adam the blessing is because the blessing is the only thing powerful enough to override the curse. Ooh-wee, that's good preaching. Yep, it is the only thing that can reverse anything that the curse has done. If the curse has killed somebody, the blessing can bring them back to life. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Ooh, this is good. I'm talking myself happy here, praise God. All right, so what am I saying? I've given to you a choice, God is saying. Blessing or cursing? Now I'm going to tell you what to choose. Choose what? Life. I'm telling you what to choose. Now choose life. Now how are you going to do that? That in the middle of a bad situation, what are you going to say? Got it? You have a choice of saying something. And your saying something is what's going to deliver you. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen now. Now, your speech has everything to do with it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Let me know when you get there. I've set before you two things, life and what else? Death. Keep going. Blessing and what else? Curses. What do you choose? Life. That both you and your seed shall live. All right, look at verse 21. Death and life. Keep going. Are in the power of where?
The tongue.
The tongue. Now, this is extremely vital. For you to understand that your words have everything to do with where you go from here.
Lord have mercy.
Let's take an example now. Because you're seeing more hurricanes than ever. You can ask the folks, more hurricanes and tornadoes than ever. Folks, it is not global warming. This is a spiritual source that's causing this. All right, let's just go somewhere. And let's go to Mark chapter 4. This is just an example. Let me know when you get there. Verse 35. The same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us go over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Now, what kind of words are they speaking? Death. And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, what? Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and what happened? That was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so what? Underline it. Fearful. How is it that you have no faith? And look what made them say that. What made them speak those words of death? Fear. That was the origin of it. Now, let me show you how unorthodox Jesus is or was. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I want you to see this, because this kind of lifestyle doesn't come easy. When I say easy, I mean it's easy to do. But you've got to be unaffected by other people. Let me know when you get there. You with me? Verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is crazy. Now I'm just putting that in today. This is what he said. And in another place, it says, verse 31, there came his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, your mother and your brother out there, they're seeking for you. And he answered and said, who is my mother or my brother? He looked around about and said to them, behold, my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother, my brother, my sister, my father, my grandmama, my everybody. Now, one of his brothers was James. Now, watch what James did. Turn to the book of James. Now, James, one of them, they were trying to get him to stop. Why? Because he is walking in folks' houses saying the daughter's not dead, she just sleep. And they're laughing at him and all kinds of stuff. What is he doing? He's speaking something. He's speaking what? Come on, what is he? He's speaking life and blessing. That's what he came to do. That's what Adam was made to do. He was made to speak blessing. The curse is going to be here because of Adam's sin. He was made to speak blessing. Blessing. Bless those that of whatever they do to you. Speak blessing. You don't have to curse them. You're trying to get that curse from coming on them. Are y'all with me? Look what James says here. James says, go to James chapter 3. I can stop there, but go to James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a what kind of man? Perfect man, and able to do what to the whole body? You can turn your whole body, your whole situation can turn around if you can bridle your tongue. Say amen to this. And he goes on talking about we put bits in horses' mouths and so forth like that. In other words, whatever situation you got in your life, your tongue is powerful enough to change it. Now, I want to say something here, and I want you to put it in your notes. You cannot escape the fact that your words control your life. You cannot escape that fact. You are living in a word planet. It was made by words and designed to operate with words. Now, let me just show you something else. Turn to Joshua. I'm almost done. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. Now, this is when they're going to walk around Jericho. Say amen to this. Amen. So they're going to walk around Jericho, and they're going to have to do it every day for 7 days to get Jericho to come down. But look what God told Joshua to tell them. Verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not what? Shout. Verse 10. Joshua 6, verse 10. You shall not shout nor make any noise with your what? Voice. Neither shall any, come on, word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. That's how significant words work. I'm going to give you this place that is beyond anything you can afford. But do me a favor. Don't let anything come out of your mouth until I tell you to say something. Man, that's good preaching right there. So sometimes we talk too much. And the devil wants our mouth because he can't do anything without it. God is going to lead you into a fight you can't win. He's going to take you to a piece of property you can't afford. And he's going to lead you into a problem you can't solve. But speak life to it. Now, let's look at another place. Let's look at Psalms. And let's go to Psalms chapter 109. Psalms 109. Now, I know some people don't like me preaching this. Well, Pastor, I wouldn't tell them all of that. Now, I'm going to tell you. Because I'm telling you, the pressure was on me with this building when that money hadn't shown up yet. That pressure was on me. I'm telling you, when that pressure's on you like that, don't go to the beauty shop or the barber shop. But there's more unbelief in that than you can shake a stick at. I was in the barber shop. Reverend, I heard you're going to get that big mall up there. And they're winking at each other. I was reading a comic book or something, you know. Yeah. See, because it's impossible for them, but not for you. Because with God, all things are possible. See, my words are spirit and they are life. Well, look at this verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. That's all. That's all you need to know. Look at verse 17. As he loves cursing, so let it come on him. My Lord. You can curse yourself. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Wow. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come unto his bowels like water and like oil unto his bones. It'll get all in him. Saying the wrong thing. Folks, you're going into now a time where darkness is becoming darker and disasters and things like terrorism are all over the earth. But you are supposed to be protected. Say amen to that. And there is nothing in the promises of God that's automatic. You've got to say something. Every day I speak Psalm 91. Let's go to it. Psalm 91. Now, you got to understand, Psalm 91 is not only for you, but it's for the military. Come on now. It's for policemen. This Psalm 91 came out of a blood-sworn covenant. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the or protection of the Almighty. I will what? Say. There it is right there. Praise God. You got to say something. He is my refuge and fortress, in him and God in him will I trust. Surely. I like that word, surely. He shall do what to me? He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the what? What did we say pestilence was? Easy. Go deliver me. He shall cover me with his feathers. Under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my what? Shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. Come on, keep going. 1,000 shall fall at my side. Keep going. 10,000 at my right hand. But it shall not come nigh me. Shall not. Only with my eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall... Yeah. Ooh, that's good. No evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Folk, don't think that you're going to get in an accident and get hurt and get... Oh, no! You got an angel on this fender, that hood, that trunk, and one sitting on the top, taking you down the highway. Amen. So even in the midst of something that looks catastrophic, the blessing is going to keep you. Glory to God. For he, verse 11, shall give his angels charge over you, and they're going to keep you in all your ways. They're going to bear you up in their hands, lest you even stumble over a stone. You'll tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion and dragon, you'll trample under feet. Why? Because he set his love upon me. Say, God loves me. Therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him where? In trouble. I'll deliver him and what else? Honor him with long... No, no, no. You said that too short. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So the first thing for me is to find out what God said. And then to believe it and say it. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Deliverance, healing and health. Say amen to that. God calls things that what? Do not as though they were. So it matters what you say, especially in difficult moments. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, it might look like things are too bad, but that's not true. This power of the blessing is powerful enough to turn anything around because it's the same power God used to create the universe. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So in your lesson tonight, settle it. One more scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Settle it that death and life come under the dominion of your tongue. Settle it. I said, settle it. Settle it tonight. No evil supposed to be able to touch our policemen. No evil supposed to be able to touch our military. No evil should be able to touch our children, our families, our businesses. This is when a man, young man named David, 17 years old or so, comes up to the front line. And what happened was Saul tried to put his sword on him. Look at verse 39. Now they were warring against a man named Goliath, who was a warrior for the Philistines. And David girded his sword upon his armor and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. And David pulled off that armor and pulled off that sword. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his bag. Verse 43. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Man. And I'm telling you, people don't realize it. But when they tell you you can't do something, they're trying to make a curse come on you. But look what David did. Immediately, he negated that curse. Said, no. The Philistine said to David, you come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistines, now come to me. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you with the armor of God. I'm putting that in there myself. Because that's where you're going to have to go. Put on the whole armor of God. the blessed breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, come on, of God. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you and take your head from you. Wow. And I will give your carcass of the whole to the host of the host of the Philistines this day. You give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God where? In Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword or spear, for the battle, come on, is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, that David what? Hastened and ran towards the battle. Man, don't run from your problems. Not anymore. You're gonna run to them. This 2012 is your year of victory. This is your year of victory. What God had intended for you is gonna come to pass. Now you've got a choice to speak, come on, life, death, blessing, or cursing. Choose life, that you and your seed may live. Did you get something out of that tonight? You know, people mean well, but they're most of the time operating under a failing curse system. They don't know the God that you know. And without even being aware of it, they're speaking a curse on people. You can't make it. You're not going to make it. You sick. You're going to die. All kinds of stuff. But I want you to wake up to that. Cut it off. Say, I don't receive it. Say, I shall live. I shall prosper. Whatever I lay my hands to is going to bring forth much fruit. I don't care how it looks now. I'm putting the word on it. And the word brings life. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise for it. Praise God. I kept you a little bit longer because this is Christmas time, praise God. How many of you have a situation in your life right now you can apply this to right now? Right now. The wife and I were talking. She said, you know, just make sure you give them things and that they can, you know, they can apply, some way they can apply this thing. Did I give it to you tonight that you can apply this? No. He can't win. He's a loser. He's a loser. When you speak God's word, virtue always comes with it. Virtue is the power of God. It is God himself. That's when I preach on why I preach on faith. Faith seems to come. Because whatever I preach on, the virtue is in it to bring it to pass. So I'm saying God is with you. And this is for somebody this is special. Don't look back. Wait a minute. There are some failings back there. Today starts a new chapter in your journal. Today, you will win all the battles. From now on, from today. Don't look back. Because you failed back there. Don't look back at that. You didn't know what you know right now. So you take, if you will, at Deuteronomy 30 and 19. You just, you know, look at it tomorrow and the next day and just read it out loud to yourself and so forth. Get it in here. And remember, this is a word planet. Listen, that's a vital piece of information that God gave you. People don't know that. They don't know their words are either bringing them into a place or destroying them from getting there. They have no idea that. You can tell they have no idea. You ought to hear what they're saying. Scared me silly. Okay. All right. Well, you got to train that, because you want to get your words such that those words produce right away. Man, you don't have to wait for the battle to end. You can be like David this day. Because the army, Israel's been dug out for 40 days, but we're not going through that Goliath. What we're going to do is I'm going to get out of debt by this time next week. Are you following? Start just saying something. Now, I just showed you where they thought Jesus was out of his mind. But James was one of the family members, and he thought, but soon he woke up to it. And he made the whole book of James saying your tongue. Wow. Isn't that something? So let's wake up to this thing. Folks, I believe there's no limit to what we can do. Especially, watch this, if we decree a thing together. I'm going to make up a decree. New Year's Eve night. Because I want you to help me decree something on this bank. I want you follow what I'm saying? Amen. And then we're going to decree something about your bills. Yeah. That house note, car note, house you don't have to get one. Say amen to that. Folks, if it's only words we need, we can speak that. He didn't say go out here and run the 26.2 mile marathon. He said just speak. Amen. If you're here and you've never confessed Jesus publicly as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Notice two things: death